You probably had lots to do today, and you made a choice tonight to be back in the Lord's house, and I'm thankful for that. It's really encouraging to your pastor when you're faithful. And that's something that you can do, and I appreciate you doing that, and it means a lot. Now, again, this morning, I started preaching at the time I'm normally eating, and now it's 8:19 back home, and we started church. We used to have church at 7, then we moved it to 6 o'clock a while back, and so by about 8:30, everything's winding down there at the church, and folks are done, and by about 8:30, I'm eating a bowl of ice cream, or I'm eating popcorn. Do you have a Sunday night ritual after church on Sunday night? How many of you have popcorn after church? Anybody? All right. Who has ice cream after church? Who has both? All right. If I can, I do. And so I might start thinking about ice cream. So if I throw out vanilla or chocolate, if I throw out Bluebell, how many of you ever had Bluebell ice cream? Do they sell it around here? Okay, let's go get some right now. Okay, we'll come back. Preaching will be better with some Bluebell, okay? Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 29. Again, thank you for being here. Boy, what a great song that was. What a great song service we've had tonight. Thank you, Brother Bruce. And I'm so pleased with what the Lord is doing here in your church and Brother Bruce's life and his precious family. We thank the Lord for Miss Emily. What a blessing she is. And that gal can cook. Boy, oh boy, we had mashed potatoes. We had roast beef. We had buttermilk biscuits, butter. And I knew she was sanctified and set apart for the master's use because she brought and set out the strawberry jam on the dinner table today. Amen. Everything tastes better with gravy and jam or jelly. Depends on where you're at. All right. And then we had a good dessert and good fellowship. And we're so thankful for that. 1 Samuel chapter 29 is where we're at. I want to show you something here in 1 Samuel 29 and then into 1 Samuel chapter 30 that we're going to look again at the life of David. I'm doing it on purpose because I feel like this morning we laid the groundwork of who David is. And we'll go back to that for just a minute. And we're going to back up a little bit. We fast forwarded in David's life after he was king. Now we're going to look at a situation that we alluded to this morning when David is on the run from King Saul. Now Saul is a type of the natural man. Saul wanted to do it himself in his own power and for his own glory. And David is a type of the spiritual man. He is one who is operating and being moved by the Lord. Now, I mentioned to you earlier today that Saul had become very envious and jealous of David, and he wanted to kill him. And I mentioned to you today that jealousy and envy, they'll eat you alive. There's another word that goes right in line with that. It's called covetousness. That's one of the things that God really emphasized to his people, to not be covetous, not to covet what somebody else has got, where somebody else has lived, what somebody else's home might look like, or their family might even look like. You know, when we're covetous, it knocks us out of being content. And the Bible says that godliness with contentment is great gain. The Bible says that having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. You know, I see in our society today several things that are besetting sins to us. One of those besetting sins that we have today is covetousness. And it pushes us. It drives us at times to make poor decisions and it puts us in a bad spot sometimes. I wonder how many marriages have found themselves under unnecessary strain because we wanted more, because we weren't satisfied with what God had given to us. And I want to really encourage you in that. You know, Saul should have rejoiced that God gave him David. David meant Saul no harm. David would come and be a blessing to Saul. It was God who has finished with Saul. It wasn't David's fault. But Saul didn't see it that way. The Bible says that Saul eyed him and he even went so far as to try to take David's life. And in 1 Samuel, the closing of that book, we see that experience where Saul would try to kill David and David would go on the run. All right? A couple of times while David was hiding from Saul, one time David was inside of a cave. You have caves around here, don't you? We don't have very many caves in Indiana. There's a couple of them, all right? And everybody knows the ones that are there because there's only two of them, right? David was hiding down inside a cave and Saul came and encamped right at the mouth of that cave. And David could have taken Saul's life, but he didn't. He didn't. He even cut a piece of his garment off. And you know, David was so sensitive to Saul because Saul was the anointed of the Lord. David was so sensitive to God and to the leadership of God in his life that it broke his heart that he had even cut the garment of Saul. He was just trying to show Saul that if I wanted to kill you, I could have. Later on, Saul again would be chasing David. David would even say, hey, I'm a flea. Why are you chasing a flea around? You're the king. You don't need to worry about me. But Saul would gather together his army, and David would go on the run, and Saul would hunt him down. You know what Saul was doing? He was wasting time, wasn't he? And that's the other thing that covetousness does, and envy and jealousy. It causes us to waste time. You know what I've learned in life, and I'm learning in life? Time is very valuable. Time is very valuable. We don't have enough time to waste a day or to waste a year pursuing things that aren't necessary in life. The Bible says that Timothy was to tell the church and to tell God's people to follow after righteousness, to pursue that, to pursue the righteousness of God. Anyhow, Saul was camped again, and David found out about it, and David and some of his men, one particular, they snuck down into the encampment, and David grabbed a couple of Saul's items and took them. He got a good distance away, and he woke up Saul, and he showed Saul, he said, look, I have these items that belong to you. I could have killed you, and I didn't. I mean you no harm. Can you imagine how David must have felt? Have you ever been misunderstood? You know, the Bible says that we're to pray for our enemies and for those who despitefully use us. If you serve the Lord any amount of time and you really try to be a blessing and give and help and encourage people, you will be used. Can you imagine how Christ could have felt if he weren't the Savior and the sinless Son of God? When in the garden he asked three to pray with him and he kept going back and finding them asleep? Can you imagine how he could have felt when he looked? The Bible says that the shepherd would be smitten and that the sheep would scatter. Can you imagine how he could have felt when those men like Peter, who had sworn his allegiance and his loyalty to him, how they left? You'll be used. But let me say this, there's no better life than a life that is used by God in the service to God. David must have felt used. I think that David was probably even frustrated. And I want you, and I know I'm going to drop back just a little bit. I want you to read with me 1 Samuel chapter 27 and verse 1. I'm going to pray with you. Brother Bruce said that normally on Revival Sunday night, we go to 9:30. I mean, if you've ever been associated with the Nazarene church, they pray through. Baptists, we preach through. You don't believe that, do you? All right, me neither. Okay. But if you'll listen, we'll learn some things together and be helped and be encouraged in this together tonight in the book of 1 Samuel. Let's pray and we'll jump right into it. 1 Samuel chapter 27 is where we'll be after prayer. Father in heaven, meet with us now in a great and powerful way. Thank you, Lord, for this great work that you're working in and the people here and the work that you're accomplishing in their lives. Lord Jesus, we want to be more like you. And I believe this evening there's something we can learn from the life of David, a man who was made of flesh just as we are, a man who had great victories and great successes and also had some failure and sin. Lord, what a life experience David had. We desire this evening to learn, God, from your working in his life. And we'll certainly thank you for all that's accomplished. We ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A moment ago, I mentioned to you that David had found Saul sleeping and had taken a couple of his items. That's found in 1 Samuel chapter 26. At the conclusion of 1 Samuel chapter 26, Saul, verse 25 says, Then Saul said to David, blessed be thou, my son David. Thou shalt both do great things and also shalt still prevail. So David went on his way and Saul returned to his place. Now I want to take you to chapter 27 and verse 1. Now we need to be careful in the Bible that we don't seek to stand in judgment of Bible characters. If somebody scrutinized your life, what judgment might they form? I'm not trying to pick David apart. That's not my business. That's not my department. That's for the Lord to do. But the Lord gives us in the Word of God the good, the bad, the ugly. And God shows us that he's faithful through it all, doesn't he? When I say that good, the bad, and the ugly, should I go? How many of you know what I'm talking about? If you don't, is that a generational thing too? What in the world, man? These young whippersnappers, we got to catch them up, all right? And David said in his heart, verse 1 of chapter 27, I shall now perish one day by the hand of whom? Well, it's ironic, isn't it? Hey, you say, preacher, what do you mean? Hey, this morning we talked about the fact that David faced a giant. Who did he face? Goliath. When David ran out on the battlefield to face Goliath, he didn't run out scared and fearful and frightened. He came out like a young man on fire for God, with confidence in God, with hope in God. He picked out those stones. You remember that? And he chose those stones, and he didn't pick more than one just because he was afraid he would miss. I think he picked those stones because the Bible says Goliath had brothers. I think that David was going to knock down Goliath and then any brother that came after him. I mean, David was a man's man. Loved God, faith in God, confidence in God, saw a need, stepped onto the battlefield. He was willing to face that giant. It's ironic now that David would say in his heart, I'm going to die someday at the hand of Saul. Hey, hold on a second, David. Can the God that took care of you against Goliath, can he not take care of you against Saul? Can the God that anointed you through the prophet Samuel to become king, will he not be faithful to you and see you through this trial also? But God's showing you what was going on in David's heart. Hey, what goes on in your heart? The title of my message this evening is this: Hurt People Hurt People. Sometimes unintentionally, and sometimes on purpose. One of the things that I've learned in ministry now over these years is that people who lash out, people who are angry consistently, and people who have a pattern of behavior of hurting people, oftentimes it's because there's an inner hurt that goes unhelped. If we're going to have revival, it's got to begin in here. If there's something in here that needs to be cared for, then let's this evening be honest. Let's allow the Lord to help us in that. David said, according to verse 1 in his heart, I'm going to die by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape. Now please notice this. This is going to floor you. David, the lover of God, the pride of his nation, David who had put his life on the line to defend the honor of his nation, Israel, is going to do something that is quite shocking. David says in his heart, I'm going to die at the hand of Saul. There's no sense in me staying where I'm at. I am going to go into the land of the... Now look, we don't have time tonight. Well, we do if you'll stick around until midnight. But the Philistines were the enemies of God. The Philistines, that Goliath was their captain. The Philistines had been a thorn in the side of Israel. I mean to say, if you were to say, hey, who are some enemies of the people of God? You'd name off the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Hittites, all those other ites. And then you'd hit the Philistines. You say, and the Philistines, because the Philistines in the Bible, they're a type of the enemy. They're a type of the world attacking and working against the people of God. It was the Philistines that at times had swept through and taken from Israel. It was the Philistines who at times had taken their crops from them. As a nation, that was their enemy. America has enemies. Communist China is an enemy of America. Communism in general is an enemy of America, and they work against us. In a sense, when David said, I'm going to the land of the Philistines, it would be like somebody as an American saying, I'm going to go as a traitor somewhere else because I got a better chance of survival there. Hold on a second. Who is it that protects David? Who is it that protects us? Hey, listen, in this matter of heart matters, we've got to take this thing back to God. It's like that wonderful song we sang a moment ago. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. That's where we've got to live. But David does something very quickly here. He goes to the land of the Philistines, but when he gets there, you know what they say? We don't trust him. This is some kind of plan. David's not going to come and become friends with us because David works against us. He fights against the Philistines. He killed Goliath. He didn't just kill Goliath, but he drew out Goliath's sword, kept it as a souvenir, and he did something. What did he do, class? He cut off his head. Why? Because he didn't have a smartphone to get a picture. Same thing, Brother Bruce shot a turkey, and you know what he did with that turkey's feathers and his beard and those other little things there on the back of his leg? He had him mounted. Why? So all the world can see he shot a turkey? Somewhere David had Goliath's head hanging on his wall. And people came over to David's house and David said, hey, and there was Goliath's head. I mean, you want to talk about inciting people and aggravating people. And so some of the lords of the Philistines, they said, we do not trust David. But David found one that gave him opportunity. You know what David began to do? And I'll have to go quick here with you on this. But the Bible tells us that David began to act like a Philistine. Hey, listen, when you get in with the wrong crowd and you want to fit in, you know what you've got to do? You start acting like him. You start talking like him. Remember when Peter was warming himself at a fire? And that young lady, just a young lady, the Bible, a damsel, a young lady. She came and said, hey, I saw you with Jesus. You're one of that crowd. And what did Peter do? He began to use the old language. He began to talk like somebody who was not a respecter of God because he wanted to throw him off. Young people, be careful of the company that you keep. A heart condition, a hurting heart, drove David into the arms and the company of the wrong people. How many people have found themselves in relationships? How many people have found themselves in friendships with the wrong crowd from a hurting heart? Hurt draws hurt. We have in our church, have in the past worked with those who are struggling with addictions. You know, one of the things that we find out there is that addictions attract addictions. And one of the things when our group was meeting that I had to be very careful with was hurt people meeting new hurting people and hurting each other. Hurt draws hurt. David's with the Philistines. David begins to act like a Philistine. Now, David didn't go alone, because David had a group of men who earlier in the book of 1 Samuel, when David went on the run, the Bible describes them as being a bunch of folks who had all kinds of problems. They were the down and out. They would be described. Well, we'll take some time there. Go ahead and look with me. 1 Samuel chapter 22. I want you to see who these men are. 1 Samuel chapter 22. When David went on the run, 1 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 2, this is the crowd that was with David. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. I heard a preacher say one time, that sounded like everybody in the Baptist church. Broke, mad, and everything else. All right, that's a joke now. Come on, you can laugh a little bit there. We don't want to be that way, do we? Nor do we want to have a reputation that way. But that's the crowd that was with David. They were people who needed somebody to lead them. And out of that crowd, there would become a group who would be considered David's mighty men. They are ones who proved themselves to be quite valiant. Listen, David had a hurting heart. David went somewhere that he should not have gone. He partnered with people that he should not have partnered. He began to behave and act like them to fit in with them. But David did not go alone. Hey, that's worth the price of admission. When you go, you don't go by yourself. Hey, there's people watching you. There's family. Sometimes we wonder in our family how effective our testimony really is. I assure you, as time moves on, you be faithful, and you will see increasingly that even to those family members that you didn't think you were having influence over, by you doing right, by you following the Lord Jesus, by you being consistent, there is a measure of testimony that they will respect and they will know. Just like the son who returned home, they will know where to go. And let me tell you this, that when God's people fall, those that have been looking at a distance take note of that. David went and he took a whole crowd with him. And listen, they began to act just like the Philistines. The Bible says that they would go into towns and David began to establish himself with the Philistines. They began to take and kill and leave behind burnt cities. David did that? Trying to fit in with the Philistines? Hurting hearts hurt people, sometimes unintentionally. I don't know that David intended to do that. I don't know that David intended to cause that those complications, but that's what happens. Now, I want you to notice with me, please, in 1 Samuel chapter 30, something happens. 1 Samuel chapter 30. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south in Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive. Verse 6, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. And this is a very familiar statement that you've seen and heard before probably, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now give me your attention here for just a few moments. When David went down to the land of the Philistines, he didn't go alone, did he? He took his family, he took those men that were with him, he took their families, their wives, and their children. That one prince or lord of the Philistines that connected with David, he liked David and he allowed him to have a city to live in, Ziklag. And that's where David and his family and those men and their families set up camp and they began to live there in the land of the Philistines. For 16 months, David and his men will wander all over and they will take and they will pillage and they will wreak havoc. But something happens. They return home. And that's what you read a moment ago. When they return home after this time, they find the city is burnt. Can you imagine what that must have looked like? Here they come riding back, marching back, and at a distance they see the smoke. At a distance they see the homes are leveled. What would their first thought be? That their families are dead. I see warriors, men who have fought, men who have been cruel even and perhaps even ruthless. I see them now sifting through the burnt embers looking for family. They must have gone each one to the place where they'd been living to check on their family. That would be my first thought. They run back and they come together. David now the leader and these men who are with him. And they all report the same thing. There's nobody here. There's no bodies here. They've all been taken. And the Bible says that David and the men wept. Verse 4 again, notice it. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Have you ever wept so much in your life that you ran out of tears? I have. I have grieved for things for so long that I've lost the power to grieve for it. I have been affected by something and wept over a situation or a person or the loss of a person that I've just come to the conclusion I've got no more strength to weep. No more power to weep. Then something begins to happen. The men who had followed David, they said, you know what we need to do? We need to stone David. David, their leader? David, the one that they had followed? David, the men that they'd been so loyal to? Why? Why stone him? They probably felt like God's judgment was upon them. And the only way to get God's judgment off of them was by doing what? In their mind, dealing with the one that had brought them into it. That fits the biblical narrative. If you look at the battles that Israel, as they were going into the promised land, there was a guy who took things that he wasn't supposed to take. And because of that, God judged them and they were instructed as a people to take that man out and his family and take him to a valley and stone him to get God's blessing again on him. Hey, listen, hurt people, hurt people. Where did this all begin? It began when David said in his heart, I'm going to the land of the Philistines. I've got to go there in order to be spared. When David continued in that pattern, by the way, the other thing that's taking place now with this is the Philistines have come together to fight against Saul and Jonathan. David would have had to fight the very king whose life he would not take had the Philistines not rebelled and said, don't bring David with us. We think he's playing us. We think he's up to something. Don't let him come with us. David could have found himself across the battlefield from the king of Israel. Do you imagine, or can you imagine, that David ever thought he would end up there? The David who felt bad for cutting Saul's garment? The David who was so sensitive to Saul, when he could have taken his life, he wouldn't? Have you ever got your feelings hurt? You know, the Bible says of husbands that they're not to be bitter with their wives. Why do you suppose that's in there? I believe it's there, obviously, on purpose. Because, fellas, we have the propensity and the capacity to become bitter. Sometimes men will just take it in, keep their mouth shut, and put their head down and push through, but they'll carry a grudge. Ladies, you can do the same. You ever got your feelings hurt or got upset about something or got overlooked for something? Ever been hurting in your heart and nobody seemed to care to be sensitive to it? Ever had thoughts in your heart that you would never want to share with anybody else, that you were hurt? Do you know that life is full of hurt? It says in the Bible that man's going to have trials. It's as natural as sparks flying upward. That's what we have. I have a great life, and God's been very good to me. But my life has not been exempt of trials. My life has not been exempt of heartaches and problems. There have been plenty of situations in ministry and in life for there to be hurt, to come in and to abide. Some of the most honoriest people are God's people who have been hurt and won't be healed. And the meanest can be a preacher who gets his feelings hurt and doesn't know how to deal with it or won't deal with it. Hey, David's a mighty man. David's a man after God's own heart, but even David got discouraged and frustrated and said, I'm going somewhere to avoid this. And he took others with him. They receive the same behavior they've been passing out. Hurt people, hurt people. What do you suppose David was thinking when he heard that those men that were with him wanted to stone him? Hey, everything being as it is and these people being just like us, I just wonder if there wasn't a part of David that said, you know what, I probably got that coming. But not only that, David's own family had been carried away. David was hurting himself, wasn't he? That was the introduction. Can I come to the message now? What did David do? See that passage that's so familiar to us, David encouraged himself in the Lord? Do you know that David encouraged himself in the Lord at a time that must have been quite difficult? Do you know when you need to be encouraged in the Lord the most? When you feel like you're at the lowest possible point you could possibly be in. You need to know that God loves you and God cares for you and God has a purpose for you and God has a plan. You need to know that God is able to recover you. You need to know that God is merciful and that every day there's new mercy for that day. When David encouraged himself in the Lord, yeah, he was overwhelmed with what was happening around him, but there was also a level of responsibility that rested on David's shoulders for where he was at. Have you ever found yourself in a mess and thought to yourself, yeah, I kind of had this one coming. Kind of made this one. Sort of created this problem. Aren't you glad that there's a God who cares? Or aren't you glad that God loves imperfect people? Anybody here imperfect? Anybody here in need of mercy? The Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. And I want you to see something.
The Bible says in verse 6 that David was greatly distressed. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Notice verse 7. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And there's a statement here I want you to see in verse 8. And David inquired at the Lord. Now, I have to ask you to trust me about something. For time's sake, you will notice a pattern in David's life, a consistent pattern of David inquiring of the Lord. As a matter of fact, in chapters preceding, there's right before he begins to make the decisions to go into the land of the Philistines, it says a couple of times, David inquired of the Lord. David inquired of the Lord. Now, we don't see any point where David, while he's with the Philistines, or when he went to be with the Philistines, that David inquired of the Lord. Do you think that if David inquired of the Lord, Lord, do you want me to go and fight with the Philistines and be a part of the Philistines? What do you think the Lord's answer would have been? But David's heart deceived him, didn't it? He said, I'm not going to make it. Saul's going to kill me. I've got to go there. And our hearts will deceive us. A revival begins when we get back to inquiring at the Lord. You can run. You can bear your problems. You can be aggravated. As a pastor, I've worked with folks now, hundreds of people over these years, and sometimes folks have the same issue over and over and over again. You can sit with them 1 year and hear that story of who hurt them. 5 years later, you can sit with them again and hear that same story of that person that hurt them. I have had times where I'm thinking to myself, do you not remember that every time we sit down together and have a cup of coffee, you tell me the same story about the same hurt? You say, preacher, I was hurt. And I don't diminish your hurt. There are people who as children are hurt. There are people in their home and coming up in the years that are hurt. And there's real damage. I get it. I'm not diminishing. I'm not making light of it. But I am pointing you today to a place called Calvary. I am telling you today that the grace of God, the love of God, and the fact that you're a new creation in Christ beats all of that. You don't have to carry that hurt over and over and over and over again. I counsel marriages on a regular basis where a past hurt complicates a present-day circumstance. I can't trust because of something that happened way back when. David was hurt. He thought in his heart, this is what I've got to do. He did it. He went there. He began to behave in a way that was not who David is. It affected him. It affected his men. And it turned the men who loved him into hurt people. And what did they want to do to David? They wanted to hurt him. They wanted to stone him. David went back to the Lord and he said, Lord, I need to know what to do. And listen, maybe tonight, that's where you need to go. Lord, what do I need to do? You know, the Bible says, casting all your care upon him. Why? Because he careth for you. How long are you going to carry that? How long is that going to be your hurt that ruins your life? There's either power in the blood of Christ. There's either power in the gospel and what we have and who we are in Christ, or there's not. And if there is, then move on. Move past it. The Bible says of David that he inquired of the Lord. He desired his ephod. And I want to share with you just a few thoughts. Number one, he was encouraged that God loved him and God cared and that God was still there. And I want to encourage you in that. When you're down, be encouraged. God cares. He desired that the ephod be brought. That was a garment that spoke of worship in David's time in a way that he would worship the Lord. He began to praise God. He began to go before God in worshiping God. Listen, you cannot tell me that when a person begins to think about who God is, how great God is, and what God has done for them, if you're born again with the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you, that your heart doesn't get warmed up, that you don't begin to get a little bit of a skip in your knee and get ready to put your hands in the air and say, man, God's good. God loves me. He gave his son for me. He has a place prepared for me in heaven. That's worshiping God. That's taking the truth of who God is, being encouraged by that. Hurt people hurt. They only hurt themselves, they hurt others. David was encouraged. David worshiped. David inquired, what would you have me do, God? And God was gracious and God was kind and God gave him promise. God said, you go after your family. You tell the men, I'll be with you and we'll go and we'll get them back. And that's exactly what they did. The Bible says that they would go, and on their way, they encounter somebody who had been a part of that enemy that had attacked them. And those folks, the enemy, were so cruel to him, they had left him to die. And you know what David did? He showed him kindness. He showed the enemy kindness. And God used that relationship for David to be given information on how to get his family and the men's families back. We spoke this morning on the power of kindness. When we're hurting, the first thing we want to do is what? Lash out. We want to hurt somebody. Boy, this has been an interesting year, hasn't it? There's a real problem with airlines now. There's quarreling and fighting on the airlines, right? And I wondered about that. I heard all that, and I saw some video the other day where some gal got punched in the face and her tooth knocked out by some other gal. Man, that's a wild flight. What's going on there, you know? But I flew for the first time in a while. And I got to tell you something. Somebody walking back and forth and telling me to keep putting my mask up, put your mask up, put your mask up, put your mask up. I didn't want it to fall down, but I'm sleeping. I'm eating peanuts. I don't know why I can eat peanuts and drink coffee with my mask down, but then all of a sudden, magically, I put it right back up and I'm safe again. There's a lot of things that have gone on in the world that are quite triggering and quite frustrating, right? It kind of makes it stir you a little bit. And I, not you. You're a better Christian than I am. Yeah. Man, there's a boiling. There's a frustration. There's a simmering. That's a hurt. Hurt people hurt people. And I've caught myself in my own spirit, my own attitude at times in the last year or so, being short-tempered with people. Frustrated. I had to get to the Lord and say, Lord, this is not who I'm supposed to be. This is not right. It doesn't matter what's going on. Daniel was told that if he prayed again, God would throw him into the lion, or the king would throw him into the lion's den. And you know what David did? He opened his windows and he prayed. And you don't see David fighting or fussing with the people who are throwing him in the lion's den. The Hebrew children were told that if they didn't bow down, they'd be thrown into a fiery furnace. You know what? They didn't bow down. And you don't see them fighting and fussing with the folks. They were bound and put in and they came out. There's a lot of things that go on that I don't agree with or like or understand or different than the way I would do them. But as a believer, that doesn't give me right to be unkind, does it? Or unruly. Wow. David showed kindness to his enemy. He got the answer that he needed. And you know what? The Bible says that they went back and they overtook the enemy, and all that was taken was recovered. But not just that. Go with me now. 1 Samuel, please. We're looking together in chapter 30, verse 18. The Bible says, and David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. Please notice the next three words. David recovered all. David recovered all. And David took all the flocks and the herds which they drave before those other cattle and said, this is David's spoil. Not only did God heal David's heart, but he also gave him full recovery. That's who our God is. Hey, the enemy comes along and he says to you, you are so far gone and you have made such a mess of things, there is no coming back from this. And God says, don't believe his lies. Don't you listen to him. God said to Israel, I can restore the years that you have lost if you'll return to me. It doesn't have to end this way. David, come on, David, snap out of it. Come on, David, be stirred within you to come to God and to worship God and to be encouraged in God and to trust in God and to go forward with God and do what God calls upon you to do and see what God can do. And that same David that stepped out on the battlefield and defeated Goliath, now he's able to return back to those men and say, look, guys, God gave us everything back. And God gave them more. The Amalekites had taken other things from other people. David got that spoil also, as did his men. Hold on a second. Where did that begin? When David encouraged himself in the Lord and he inquired of God. I don't know where you're at right now in your head and your heart. Maybe you're not as frustrated as I found myself at times. Maybe you just don't get hurt. Or maybe you're human like me and you've been hurt. Some folks get hurt in ministry and they say, I don't ever want to be involved in ministry again. I taught a Sunday school class, or I worked in the children's church, or situation took place and I'm just not going to do it again. And you know what happens with that? They're just not going by themselves. They're taking other people with them. Their children hear that. Their children hear how parents had a bad experience in church. I'm not going back to church ever again. And their kids are affected by that. And their grandchildren will be affected by that. They won't hear the gospel. Man, I know when you're working with people, and I know in life there are times of offense. There are times of complications. There's sin that comes in, and that creates problems. But we've got to be careful in our heart that we don't turn from God and turn from the things of God and allow that hurt to remain. We've got to allow God to what? Heal us. A healthy body is cut, it bleeds, and then what does it do? It heals. As we begin to have ailments and problems in life, sometimes our wounds, they don't heal as quickly, do they? And that creates other situations for us. Now, if you can imagine that physical example, it's the same way in our life. When you get hurt, don't let it linger. You feel like somebody slighted you. You feel like somebody didn't acknowledge you or didn't appreciate you. Don't you carry that another day. Somebody hurt you. Somebody sinned against you. Somebody did something that, not your fault. It wasn't David's fault that Saul wanted to kill him. You deal with that. You take that to the Lord. You let God heal it. You turn that thing over to God. You find in God's grace and God's strength and by the commandment of God, I will not let this linger. You say, preacher, is it that easy? Not always. There are times as a pastor where I wrestle with things. Hurt. And I lay in bed and think about it. What do? I pray. I say, Lord, I don't want this to cause me to be bitter. I'm mad. I'm aggravated. I'm disappointed. But I want to be healed of this. I'm not gonna carry this. And if I feel as if somebody has wronged me, I let it go. If it's something that needs to be dealt with, if it's sin, if it's a violation that needs to be dealt with, obviously we deal with it. But there are so many things that, truthfully, in light of eternity, do not matter. You say, you know what, I'm not going to do that. You feel like somebody at church doesn't like you? Go out of your way to be nice to them. Bake them a cake. Bake them a pie. Put a lot of salt in it, but bake it for them and take it to them. If they say something, say, that was my mother's secret recipe. I hope you liked it, right? But push yourself. Don't settle in that, because remember, it's not just you. It's others. I wonder today how many churches have been hurt and their candlestick removed because of hurt that went unresolved and uncared for. I wonder how many homes and children have been impacted and affected by parents who were hurt and wouldn't allow the Lord to heal them. Now, friend, he either will heal us and can heal us, or he can't. And I don't think there's a person here on a Sunday night who would say, God can't heal me. Because we have a God who can do everything. So what is that then? That's a level of pride? That I have such a hurt that not God can't even fix my hurt? Or that's a level of such selfishness and self-pity that says I won't let God help me? I choose not to remain hurt. Why? Hurt people hurt people. In conclusion, when David and his men got those things back, there were some men who were so tired who were a part of their group, they could not go with them. And David gave them permission when they were pursuing their enemies, gave David a particular group. He said, you guys just stay here and protect what stuff we have, and we'll come back to you. When David and his men went and God gave them victory and they recovered all, David's men were hurt. And you know what they said about the guys who didn't go with them because they could not physically make it? They said, don't give them a thing. Let them have what's theirs, but they don't get any of the extras. And you know what David did? He corrected them. And he established a rule in Israel that the people who go to the battlefield and the people who support the soldiers on the battlefield get the same benefit. That became established. Why? David learned his lesson. But his men, they were hurt, and they learned how to hurt and to hurt others. You see, a pattern of being hurt and being bitter, that's picked up on. Sometimes our children have problems with authority because their parents have problems with authority. Sometimes our children have a problem listening to the pastor because their parents have had a problem listening to the pastor. Sometimes, fellas, our wives lash out because they've seen in our behavior lashing out. Oh, listen. Hurt people, hurt others. Let God heal you. What's your hurt tonight? What's your burden tonight? What do you carry tonight? I promise you, it's affecting you more than you realize. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that bitterness is like a root. It springs up and it defiles what? Many. Be healed from your hurts. Trust God. Be encouraged. Inquire of the Lord. Worship God. Follow God's commandments. And believe that God is able to heal you. Let's pray. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. You've done